So Luke chapter 8, we're going to be in verse 15. This is the good soil. We've been making our way through the parable of the sower. And so this will finish it out today, and looking at the good soil. But this was written several years ago, but it says at the Sudan Interior Missions in Kajabi Medical Center. So SIM in Kajabi. Medical missionaries, Bob and Marion Bowers, received a young man who was paralyzed by a snake bite. They saw him long enough to, or he saw him live long enough to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. In third world countries, snake bites are very common and usually they're fatal. For 4 days, this young man, he had been bitten by a snake, and they received him in the medical center. He was unconscious, and under normal circumstances, they said he would have died within 24 hours, but he didn't. And he stayed unconscious. On the fifth day, miraculously, he woke up. Well, that afternoon, there was a group of students from Moffitt Bible College who had come to the hospital, and they were sharing the gospel with patients in the hospital. He was one of them. They shared the gospel with him. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And that night, around midnight, he had a cardiac arrest and he died. But he had Christ as his Savior. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about that or not. We joke about it, but it's not a joking matter when it's life and death. And Jesus is fixing to become a reality in your life. So if you don't have Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's something you need to consider. And as we've been walking through these parables, that's kind of what we're talking about. So let me read it to you. Luke 8, verse 5, this is the parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rocks, and it grew up, withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So we've made our way through each one of these, looking at the soil. Today we're at the last one, the good soil. First of all, let me point out to you again that the seed is the Word of God, the truth that God has given us. So the image of the parable is a sower is putting seed forth. He's throwing it everywhere. And of course, some of it landed on the hardened path. Some of it landed in the rocks, some of it went in with the thorns, and then finally we have today, some of it landed on the good soil. So if you look over to verse 15, this is the explanation, and it says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who hearing the word hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience." So the good soul, it says, as for those in the good soul, good means choice or suitable or usable soil. So when he's talking about good, the type of soil is something that is usable. There's a lot of soil, there's a lot of dirt, and it can be used for different things, but not all dirt is choice, I should say, prime for certain crops. And so that's why you have different crops grown in different areas. Here, this seed, whatever the seed, the truth of God's word that's going forth, it is landing in a soil that is choice, that is suitable, that's usable. So the good soil is the soil, the type of ground that has been made ready for use. Just because it doesn't look like it's usable doesn't mean it's not. There can be work done ahead of time. It can be prepped. The ground can be broken up. It can be softened. You can run a tiller across it and you can fluff it up. You can soften it. The unwanted items can be removed. The rocks, the thorns, the weeds, all of those things can be removed. And it can be ready to receive whatever seed you want to put in it. So with that image in your mind, let me ask you, have you been broken? Has your heart been softened? Has the things in your life that's unwanted been removed? You see, sometimes we go through difficulties of life. Some of them are even our own doing, to where we create our own mess. And through that, we find ourselves broken. We find our heart is all of a sudden softened up to the Lord. The items that we once so desired are no longer desirable. And you know what that tells me? Is that heart is now choice or prime. It becomes usable for the seed, the Word of God, to be planted there and to grow. And so don't ever discount somebody if you think they're not living right or whatever. God may be putting them in a position to do some groundbreaking, to do some softening, to get them ready. So the good soul, it says, they are those who, hearing the word, I pointed this out on each one of these, is that each group that's identified here has heard the word. They've had the ability to hear the word, to hear the truth. The Bible states that they've heard the truth. Now, I find it interesting that at the end of the parable that I read to you, so in verse 8, Jesus makes the comment, "He who has ears, let him hear." When each group has evidently had ears and each group has heard, but there's been a different outcome for each group. Just because you hear, just because you have ears and you hear the words, doesn't mean you're going to have the correct outcome. So, what is he talking about? Why is the outcome different? Well, notice what it says here in verse 15. It says, "As for that in the good soul, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and a good heart." They're the ones who not only hear it, but they hold the word, the truth, fast and with an honest and a good heart. So here the word "hold" is a Greek word that literally means to retain or to keep it from going away. So in other words, you not only hear it, but you pretty much take that word hostage and you hold it in your life. So, you've heard the saying that use it or lose it. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I was on the track to take Greek and Hebrew, and I wasn't really too excited about taking Greek and Hebrew. I was struggling to speak English, and thought, man, that's probably really going to mess me up. And so, I was talking to a professor, and he said, if you're not going to really pursue a PhD, he said, you really don't need Greek and Hebrew. He said, that's a lot of studying. He said, that's a lot of classes to take in order to get the Greek and Hebrew. And he said, here's what happens to most of them. He said, while they're in class and they're studying, he said, they're learning. He said, but there's not very many people speaking Koine Greek, which is biblical Greek, so you can't go out and speak it in the community. You can't find other pastors and say, hey, let's go have a Greek day and speak Greek. He said they can't do it, so he said you end up losing it. He said over years you lose it. And he said when he left seminary, he was studying, and he said he thought it was cool. He had Greek and Hebrew, and he said one day he started trying to remember these words. He couldn't remember it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. The same with building muscles. You can go to the gym, you can pump iron, and as long as you're pumping iron, you can build muscles. You can have firm muscles that are hard as a rock. But if you don't keep doing it, all of a sudden you've got jello arms and big jello arms to go with it. So it's kind of the same idea here. It's speaking of spiritual things that you're not just hearing it, but you are retaining it. You're putting it into action. So they're doing more than hearing. They're retaining what they hear. They're holding it fast. They're not just hearing, but they're applying it to their lives. And so that's where the growth is coming from. That's what's making the difference. Is it's not just words that they're hearing. They're actually going out and doing it. So it'd be nice if we would have people come to church and say, okay, today's lesson is we're going to go out and share Jesus with one person. And then say, you're dismissed. Go do it. Come back after you've done it. Wonder how many people would return. Or how long it would take them to return. And when I pastored in Proctor, I put organized groups of people and sent them out. And we had groups of two, and I mapped out our area. And so we would send a team every week to go, and I'd make assignments. I'd give them like three assignments, and I'd tell them, you go visit these people. And I said, you know, build a relationship. Try to share the gospel with them. So anyway, I remember this one team, put them together. They came. I gave them an assignment. And I said, report back to me when you're done. Well, we made it through the team, so it's about, I think there were six or eight teams, so we're looking at every week, so about once every 2 months, a team would get an assignment. Well, that team had an assignment. They were sent out to do it. I never followed up to see what was going on. The 8 weeks went by. It was time for that team again, so I call them in. I said, hey, I got a new assignment for you. And I said, by the way, I never got a report on your last assignment. And they got real quiet. And they said, we haven't fulfilled that assignment yet. I said, what do you mean you hadn't fulfilled it? You've had 2 months to go visit one person. And I said, you can't find the time to go do that. So if we would take the word of God and apply it, whatever the principle is, and apply that in our lives and walk in it and use it, then we would retain it and God would bless that in our activity in our lives. So hold it fast. Retain it. And it says in an honest, and you know what? The word here for honest is the very same word that is good for the soul. So the word good that's identifying the soul is the very same Greek word that's identified here as honest. So what is he talking about? Not just with an honest heart, but with a choice heart, a suitable heart, a usable heart. So when you retain it in a heart, and that's the soul, it's talking about the soul, and so the heart becomes the soul, when it becomes choice to receive the word of God, it is going, and they retain it, it's going to do well. Years ago, when we lived over in Gustine, one of the farmers there, we hog hunted on his place, because he had such a hog problem. 1 year he went out and he planted corn. He had cornfields every year. Just, they would be massive. And the hogs loved it. I think the hogs were probably praising that guy. They're probably sending out newsletters. Hey, come to this guy's place. There's plenty of food, plenty of water, and not much activity. And so anyway, that 1 year he planted his corn. The next morning he got up and he went and checked the corn. The hogs had just went right down through there and ate the corn up. That guy had to replant 3 times because the hogs were eating the corn faster than the ground could retain it. And I think that's the way a lot of Christians are. They hear the word of God, and while you're here, you're thinking, man, that's really good. Amen. Oh, boy, I can't believe I'm hearing this. This is good. And we walk through those doors, and the hogs have done ate it up. The devil's done swooped in, and he's changed it, or he's stolen it. And our lives aren't what God wanted them to be because we're not retaining. So retain it in a choice, suitable, a usable heart. And it says here, not just honest or choice, but good. That is agreeable, pleasant, joyful. That's what he's identifying. And he's identifying this is not only just the soul, but this is the heart. And the Greek word here for heart is cardia, which is, of course, the organ that pumps blood. Isn't that odd? When you go up to your Valentine and say, I love you with all my heart. Have you ever thought about that? I love you with this muscle that pumps all this blood through my body. That doesn't sound as good, does it? Man, I wish I had your heart. I wish I had that blood pumping muscle. That's why, you know, and the reason they say that is because the heart, biblically, when you see the word heart, it's referring to the center of your physical and your spiritual being. So that's why you say, hey, receive Jesus into your heart. You're not saying, hey, take Jesus in there and help me pump blood through your body. No, you're talking about the center of your physical and your spiritual being, the center of who you are. Is what it's talking about. So the heart is regarded as the center of that. And so when you say, I love you with all my heart, you're saying, I love you with my complete physical being of who I am. When you tell the Lord, I'm going to serve you with all of my heart, you're committing to serve the Lord completely, wholeheartedly, not holding back anything, because that's the center of who you are. So, what he's talking about here is God's word is heard, it is retained in the center of your being, and it affects you physically and spiritually. I hope you understand that. It affects you physically and spiritually. You can't separate the two. There's beliefs in the past where they believe that you're only spiritual. When you do spiritual things and what you do physically has nothing to do with spiritually and vice versa. Whatever you do spiritually has no effect on you physically. That's not right. You're completely connected. You're one physically and spiritually. So your body, spirit, and soul are all connected as one. And what one does, it affects the other. So if you come to Jesus spiritually, you're born again, that's going to affect your physical life. You're no longer going to live in the way that you had lived in the past. The same as if you reject Jesus spiritually, that's going to lead to you living a physical life that reflects that. And of course, it will have effects on your physical body as well. So you retain God's word in the center of your being, and it affects you both physically and spiritually. So receiving God's word is not just a spiritual thing, but it's the ability to change your physical life as well, and vice versa. So one has an effect on the other. Years ago, when we were pastoring at another church, there was a young man who started coming, and he'd gotten saved, and his life began to change, and God was really doing a great work in his life. And he decided that he didn't need all the medicine for anxiety and depression any longer. And he was wanting to go off of all of that because he felt like the Lord had really worked in his life and God was in control of his life, and he didn't need those things anymore. So he went to his local psychologist, psychiatrist, sociologist, quack, whoever he was seeing. I don't know who he was seeing. And he said, look, God has worked in my life. I don't need these things anymore. So I want you to take me off the medicine. The doctor said, nope, you don't need to come off that medicine. You need to stay on the medicine. Even his family was telling him, don't get off the medicine. You stay on that medicine. They put you on that medicine years ago, you stay on that medicine. He said, look, doc, he said, I'm going off the medicine with or without you. I'm telling you right now, I'm fixing to quit taking this medicine. So either you help me or I'm doing it without you. And the doctor said, well, I disagree and I think you're messing up, but I will help you. So the doctor started weaning him off the medicine. I think the doctor probably thought, man, I'm fixing to lose a car payment or something. I don't know. But anyway, weaned him off the medicine and he did great. And I was wondering, why in the world was he on the medicine to begin with? Well, when you live in sin, you're going to be depressed. We used to tell our kids that all the time when they were teenagers. They'd do something stupid. Well, when you do stupid stuff, you ought to be depressed. When you step away from the Lord, you ought to be depressed. When you're not living right, you ought to have anxiety in your life. Because that's a way of God saying, hey, come to me. You who are weak and heavy laden, cast your burden upon me. I'll carry it for you. You want peace? Come to me. I'll give you peace. You want joy? Come to me. I'll give you joy. So it's a way of God saying, hey, you can't do this without me. I'm here. I'm ready. But when you want to come, then we can run with it. And so he was doing great, and I think it shocked everybody that he was doing so great. So when you retain God's word, it will affect you, your entire being, physically and spiritually. And here's what it said. Here's the most important part in verse 15. And it says, as for that in the good soul, they are those and on hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. So this is the most important part. And in fact, this is the part that we strive for, is that they bear fruit. Here is the difference. The group of people were fruitful. They brought the fruit to maturity. As we saw last week, there was fruit there at one point, but it never made it to maturity. So the goal is to have mature fruit. Here's some verses for you. Matthew 7, starting in verse 16, here's what it says. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So you recognize them by their fruit. If you want to go hang out with somebody and they're cussing, telling dirty jokes, watching stuff they shouldn't be watching, they're showing you who they really are. If you go hang out with somebody and all they want to do is gossip about other people, all they want to do is talk bad about other people, they're showing you a glimpse of what's in their heart. So that fruit that's coming forth from them is the fruit that's in them. And so you ought to recognize that. You recognize them by the fruit. If you go hang out with somebody and they're loving, they're courteous, they're hospitable, they're helpful, they want to minister, they want to point out spiritual things to you, those are the ones you want to hang out with, because that's the good fruit. Most of those people don't have very many friends, because when their other friends come over and they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, and they say, well, let me tell you what the Bible says, that gets old real quick. If you don't want to hear the Bible, I promise you that gets old real quick. But you will recognize them by their fruit. And I want to point out to you, verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree that is not bearing good fruit is cut down. That's talking about judgment. They are condemned to hell. Now, if you're alive, you have the opportunity to become saved. You have the opportunity to get on the right track and start bearing fruit. But if something doesn't change, then it's going to be a sad situation when you step into eternity. And you're going to wish you could go back and do things different. But I'm telling you now, you can't. And you won't be able to. So, recognize them by their fruits. And here's what he tells us in John chapter 15. A couple of verses here. Verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you." So here in verse 16, he tells us that he chose you. Just Jesus talking, he says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. And not only did I choose you, but I appointed you, commanded you to go forth and bear fruit." So he wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to be fruitful, carry that fruit all the way to maturity. And in verse 8 of chapter 15, he says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So the Father wants you to bear fruit. It brings glory to the Father. Whenever you're bearing fruit, the Father is glorified in that. And it's proof that you belong to Him. It's proof that you're His disciple. You're a follower of Jesus. So it's proof of that. So, are you bearing fruit? Or are you in danger of being cut down? I can't answer that for you. If you're not bearing fruit, you're in danger of being cut down. If you're bearing fruit, keep bearing fruit. Here's what Spurgeon said. He claimed that 98% of the people he met, including the criminals that he visited in England's prisons, told him that they believed the Bible to be true. 98% believed the Bible to be true. The vast majority had never made a personal, life-changing commitment to Jesus. So for them, believe was not an active verb. So they believed it to be true. They believed God's word, but they had never applied it in their lives. So these who are part of the good soul are those who not only believe, but they apply it to their lives, they retain it, and they walk after it. So when you look at the different souls here, you've got the hardened path, you've got the seed that fell among the rocks, you've got the seed that fell among the thorns, and the seed that fell in the good soil. You are probably in one of those types of souls. You have probably been in one or the other somewhere in your life. The goal is to be in this last one, where you're fruitful, where the ground is prepared, it's broken up, it's softened, things are removed, and when the seed is planted, it begins to grow and brings forth a great harvest, a harvest that is abundant. That's our goal. If you don't have that in your life and you want that, we can help you with that. We can pray for you. We can encourage you. We can show you verses. That's the goal. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful that you love us. Thank you for all that you do and all the words that you've given us. I pray, Lord, that we would be fruitful in all that we do in order to bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, most of all, to be faithful, to be obedient, to do the things that you call us to do. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. I pray you do a great work in our lives this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.